I appreciate Don allowing me to speak here once in a while. I enjoy teaching as I do in school, and it's always exciting to speak to new crowds and new people. So my sermon today is going through the fire. So we have a scripture, if you'd like to stand, and we'll read it. You can get your Bibles. You can open it up. It's in 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. Wherein you greatly rejoice through now for a season, it need be, for you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith bring much more precious than of gold that perishes, through it tried with fire, might be found unto the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When having not seen, we love, in whom through now you have seen him not, yet believing you rejoice with unspeakable and full of joy, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So you can be seated. So. But I have a poem that I found pretty interesting to go along with the sermon. Thought about this message. I've always been curious why we go through things in life, why some suffer for a long time, and why different trials. We heard about Debbie's trial. It was short, but the rain in there, it's easy to get upset and wonder why. And then all of a sudden, that trial fulfills the destiny. She met the right person and was able to pray. So many times, things happen to us because God wants to fulfill the destiny, as we see with Joseph. We'll go on that in a little bit. Also, many times we're in an evil world, as Don brought up. A lot of punishment of God is going on. But God prepares us through the evil. He teaches us to pray, teaches us to rejoice, teaches us to prepare things in our own life because of the trials of the world. And I'm always encouraged to keep praying for repentance, keep praying for our people, and pray against the evil as we do here in our prayers. So we look at today that far, what does far symbolize? It symbolizes trials. It symbolizes God's presence. It symbolizes purification. And it symbolizes judgment. So I found this interesting poem. Follow along with your handout if you like. Author is unknown. The far of God. A flame divine, unites our hearts, our souls align. With holy heat it burns within, consuming doubt and erasing sin. A blaze that purifies our soul, restoring us, making us whole. From heaven's throne the fire descends, a light that guides, a love that mends. It sparks a passion deep and true, reviving dreams, renewing you in trials faced. The far refines. With every glow, God's will align. So let the far burn bright and clear. Chase away every trace of fear. For in his flames, we find our way to walk in light, to live each day. So I felt the poem kind of illustrates the message today, how we allow God to work through us by trials, far events that happen in our life. So what is far all about? Why is far all about? I'll keep my glasses on so I can see. But, so you know, we had cataract surgery and I came through. Don't have to wear my glasses much. And Don had his at the same time. It's kind of unusual about a year ago. So the baptism with Holy Ghost and far. So John declared in Matthew 11 through 12, I indeed baptize you with water and repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to wear. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan in his hand he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So John the Baptist kind of uses metaphor. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. So we see that he was speaking of Jesus. Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Ghost and fire. So far is there to try our works. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abideth, which he hath built upon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so by far. So Paul uses this as an example of testing by far in our life. Each one's work will be manifest where the day will disclose it. So the far purifies us, but we know in the end our works are going to be exposed, whether good or evil. So the far will test the work which we have done throughout our life when we receive our reward. The far signifies a more profound spiritual experience beyond repentance and forgiveness. It's a transforming encounter with the help of the Holy Spirit. So this morning I had another scripture which is not in here, but I was reading in Acts 2. And we see the day of Pentecost came, and fire came down upon people. So many times the fire of God is showing his presence in your life, significance of the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see many times the fire has come to equip us with the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's work. Fire is a symbol of God's presence and purification. So Moses encountered the burning bush. First he kind of moved away and he heard the voice cry out in Exodus 3:2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So God, through Moses encounters God, his present, his purpose. So many times, God will appear to us in different ways, sometimes as far, sometimes in different ways, to speak to us, to reveal his purpose for our life. So many times, the far is good. It brings good things to us. The sacrifices of old experienced the far of God. Leviticus 9:24 and other scriptures, when the Israelites brought sacrifices, they came to present it, they slaughtered it, and they was right close to the burning. Many times they had to watch the burning, but it signifies when it was burnt up, God's presence, God's acceptance, God's purification. So far brings purification. I read an article and I couldn't find it, but it said many times the fire purifies the air. That's why there wasn't pollution back then, because something about sacrifices going up in there changes the atmosphere. So we see fire can change the atmosphere in your life, can change the atmosphere around us. And we know today, most places don't allow burning. And when I grew up, we could burn trash in the yard. But today, they have laws against it. And we see consequences of pollution. And part of our punishment, as Don brought up, so we're under judgment of God. But we can rejoice and go through a time of God's presence in our own life. Symbolization of the fire, as I talked a minute ago, purification, refining the Holy Spirit. Fire represents God's intense purification presence that burns away impurities and refines our character. So far as repentance or judgment, purification or destruction, approval or disapproval, far can be good or it can be bad, far can be hot or cold. Malachi 3:2. But who may abide in the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. So when we experience evil as far in our journey, the burning allows God to purify our hearts and empower us to fulfill our destiny if we choose the right course. So a little joke here, I guess. I had one. It says, there's a highway to hell, but a stairway to heaven. This says a lot about the expected traffic. So, but we want to begin to think about the warmness of God, how through far God warms us. We see heat in the winter. We used to have fires, campfires, wood stoves. Fire is good. It brings a warming experience. But we also know fire could be bad. Somebody touches it. Somebody gets too close to the heat. It can bring destruction to the body. So we see fire is good and bad. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye all in the straight gate, for wide is gate and broad is way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go therein, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. So we know the devil is always out around us, prowling around, looking for someone to devour. He's waiting, watching, and hoping maybe this time the trial that you go through will cause you to give up hope. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So many times the trials or fires will come, and God wants us to change our attitude, to make a decision, to change a little bit. It was a personal story. I used the name Emily, but changed the name. So Emily was a Christian. She believed the way we did. She lived a life of quiet faith, attending church, saying her prayers each night, studying the Bible. But one day her world was turned upside down by a series of personal tragedies. Losing her job, her home, and also the sudden death of her father. She found herself in a crucial despair. It felt like relentless fire was testing her each day, more unbearable than the last. So she was going through a terrific trial. Anyone that's lost their father, all of a sudden, many times, many things happened at one time. She lost her home, her job, everything came down. Many of you can experience that in your life all of a sudden. Many bad things happen. But through that, God begins to change us. He began to change Emily. In her darkest moments, she felt and cried out to God, feeling the weight of her trials pressing down upon her. Then she experienced a profound spiritual awakening, a spiritual burning, where the flames of her suffering refined her faith and trust in God. Through this intense process, Emily emerged stronger and more resilient. Her spirit was purified, her faith deepened, making her ready to face whatever came next with renewed hope and courage. So as we go through various trials and we wake up one day and we realize we have a spiritual awakening, God had this purpose in us, we repent and begin to change and we become out stronger. so far sometimes will make us stronger in God, purifying us. So there's many examples of far in the Bible, and I chose several to look at today. And I began with Adam and Eve. As we know, they had one command, not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's in Genesis 2, 16 through 17. Despite this clear commandment, the serpent, often identified as Satan, tempted Eve, convinced her to eat of the forbidden fruit in Genesis 3. While I'm not going to get into details, because we've had much teaching on what happened as a result, but we see here the act of her disobedience by Eve, it brought a fundamental change to relationship between God and His children. Evil came into the world through Eve's act. Thus, it was necessary for God's children to be purified and tested. So through that act, God is merciful. He tests us. Are we going to be tempted like Eve? Are we going to fail? So many times the far comes as evil. The story in Adam and Eve has many applications to our life. So when evil happens, temptation happens, trials happen, like Adam and Eve, we may be tempted to question God's word or think we know better than God. As we look around, we see many of that in our nation today. They think they know better than God. But this underscores our importance in the midst of evil to obey God's commandments. Even when His commandments seem restrictive, they are given for our good to protect us from harm. So through the far, it may lead us to follow God's commandments to repent. Though Adam and Eve faced evil and experienced severe consequences, God had a plan for redemption, was already in the motion. When trials and fars come, we must turn back to God in repentance, trust in His mercy and redemptive work of Christ. So we see that through the sin that happened in the garden, that there was punishment. One of the punishments that came into the world was the seed line of Cain. Through their acts, they brought evil into the world. So immediately, their first punishment, they was expelled from the Garden of Eden. They had to live outside the Garden of Eden. Just like we have to live in the world, but we're not supposed to be part of it. It was during this time the children were born, Cain and Abel. The story of Cain's birth, how evil manifested through this pivotal part, underestimating the spread of sin and consequences to the world. So we see that through the line of Cain, much evil came into the world, and God uses that for us to begin to turn back to Him. As we see, after the birth of Cain, sin quickly escalated, facilitated with Cain's murder of Abel. So evil came in, and then the consequences of evil. In 1 John 3:12, not as Cain, who was the wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him, because his own works was evil, and his brother was righteous. So we see that evil works affects us in our daily life, but we can turn to God, but we don't understand sometimes why things happen. We must trust God. curious thing I always thought about is, why did God allow Cain to continue to live? So while Cain was justly punished for his sin, God protected him with the mark of Cain. He kept his seed line alive and allowed it continue to be a chastening fire to God's people. So as you continue the story through Noah, you see many situations that came up through the line of Cain, and it brought much destruction to the people of the time from Adam forward. But not only does that testing happen back then, it continues today, because there are various wicked people and wicked seed lines in the world that God has allowed many times for our punishment, many times for us to repent and to change. So like Cain, we must guard against the experience of Cain. We must be diligent in guarding our hearts against sin, particularly anger, jealousy, resentment. If not checked by God's guidance, these emotions can lead to a path of destruction. Romans 5:12, wherein, as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So me and my wife, we have worked as counselors many times through a ministry called Restoring the Foundation, and that found out that when people experience negative feelings, anger, resentment, all these things, if not taken care of, causes the person to fall farther away from God. So many times God may tempt you with a lot of negative things in your life, and it's a chance to repent and to change, because negative things will bring us away from God. And God, sometimes we use trials to bring us back in, to get us to change and to repent. But we do have redemption and hope now through Christ. We have the hope of eternal life through faith and obedience to God. Galatians 6:7-8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth in his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth in the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So when negative things happen, as the Scripture says, what we sow is going to be a result of what we reap. But as we turn to God, as we not sow on the flesh, but we turn to God in the Spirit, and we're going to reap everlasting life. So there is hope of repentance and the change in our life, and we have the hope of eternal life. So a question I came up with many times was the story of Abel. Abel's story illustrates the reality that righteous people may suffer at the hands of others. Abel was innocent, yet was murdered by his brother Cain out of jealousy and anger. His suffering was not a result of his own wrongdoing, but of Cain's sin. Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So the blood of Abel still speaks to us today. We see that many times in our life, bad things will happen. We don't understand why someone dies, why something happened to bad, but many times there's a great testimony out of that. So many times the righteous will suffer unjustly. We know that those righteous will be persecuted, and many of us have went through persecution because of our belief. And many have been jailed, put in prison because of that. But God's purpose, sometimes we don't know why certain people must die, certain people must suffer. but we must trust God in our own life to have a life of repentance and to rejoice. One of the marks I probably didn't put down, I looked at Stephen when he was being stoned. He was had an attitude of repentance. He forgave those. So God is changing us even through death to not to be deceived by evil, but to rejoice and forgive others. So it reminds us, Abel's story, that suffering is not always the consequence of our own personal sin, but can result from the sinfulness of others. It also points to the importance of maintaining righteousness and faithfulness, even in the face of unjust suffering. So Don brought up earlier that there is much evil in the world, and we're under judgment of God. So sometimes things happen to us, not because of our own result, but because of the wicked, evil people persecute us, come against us. And sometimes God allows us to change. Sometimes there's punishment with it. So we're at the mercy of God. We must just trust God that through the trials, we're going to come out stronger. Destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 19:24. Sodom and Gomorrah were cities known for their extreme wickedness and sinfulness, including sexual morality, disgrace and for the vulnerable, Genesis 18:20-21, also Ezekiel 16:49-50. So we know Lot, Adam's nephew, lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, but God sent angels to rescue him and his family from the judgment. God's righteous judgment fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah as fire and brimstone from heaven. This event served as a stark warning of the consequences of persistent sin and rebellion against God's moral law as we see it today. And we know that more and more judgment is coming upon our nation and others. But we see the rescue of Lot provides hope for us, that God can send his angels to protect us, to let us foreknow our dangers to come. It illustrates God's holiness and justice. It illustrates the seriousness of sin and the certainty of divine judgment. So we know the wicked, seed line of Cain and others, are going to be judged one day. God will not tolerate unrepentant wickedness indefinitely, but will ultimately execute judgment. So we can rejoice that one day God's judgment is going to come upon the wicked. So many times we think, God, why haven't you judged us more today? But we know every day we begin to see God's judgment more and more upon the land. As believers, we're called to live lives of holiness and righteousness, acknowledging God's standards, and we're supposed to turn away from sin. This challenges us to heed God's warning, seek His mercy through repentance. So it's important that we continue to walk in faith, seek His mercy in our life. Short story in Shadrach, Abednego and the fiery furnace, they refused to worship the golden image. But then they had their trial of faith. The king and the people didn't like people not obeying the orders of the king, not following to bow down to the golden image. So we know that the king gave them an ultimatum. Bow down, or you're going to be put in the furnace. So many times we may be faced with that in the days ahead. Are we going to bow down to the evils in the world when persecution comes? or are we going to stand up and sanctify God's name? It emphasizes their faith in God's ability to save them. Declaration of loyalty to God, regardless of the outcome. They didn't know if they was going to die, but they had faith in God that God would protect them, or that God's purpose was for them to die. So the king's reaction to them not bowing down increased the severity of their punishment. Daniel 3, 19 through 23. So with the story tells us to stand firm in our faith during trials, trusting God's presence and protection during difficult times. The impact of our unwavering faith on others around us. So our faith has an impact on others. Their faith, sanctifying God's name, impacted the nation. So sometimes by your faith, you can make a change in the nation. You can make a change in someone's life. Key verse in Daniel 3:25. Lo, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So many times through our trials, by sanctifying God, God works a miracle, and it can change someone's life. It can change your neighborhood. It can change the nation and allow God's power to come down and be shown. So this next story is a testing in prison. Story of Joseph in the Bible is a powerful narrative of wrongful and punishment. Testing and eventual benediction. Joseph's experience, including his time in jail, offered profound lessons on faith, perseverance, and God's sovereignty. Joseph, son of Jacob, was favored by his father. This led to jealousy among his brothers. This jealousy accumulated in them selling Joseph into slavery. He was taken to Egypt, sold to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, Genesis 37:3-4. So we see that evil came upon Joseph because of his righteousness. He was favored, and his brothers were seemingly jealous of favoritism. Many of us may have experienced that in growing up with our siblings. Joseph was later falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of trying to seduce her, leading to his imprisonment. So we see Joseph stood his ground. He would not sin, but the consequences led to him being in punishment. Genesis 39:19-20. It came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant come to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners was bound, and he was there in prison. But we see Joseph's time of testing. Despite his circumstances, Joseph remained faithful to God, even in prison. And God blessed him. He found favor with prisoner keepers and was put in charge of the prisoners. But the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The Lord made him to prosper. So many times we come through our trials, God prospers us as a reward of our faith. There's several vital lessoning through Joseph, God's presence in suffering. Joseph knew God was with him despite being wrongfully punished. His faith remained strong, and God's favor continued to be upon him. Joseph's refusal to sin with Potiphar's wife, even though it led to imprisonment, highlights the importance of maintaining integrity and face the temptations that come in our life. Joseph's journey shows God's plan unfolding His timing. Joseph's patience and faith eventually led him to rise to power in Egypt. So many times we will come through our testing, and God's purpose will be seen in our life, and we rise up to fulfill our destiny that God has for us. Later in the story, Joseph's brothers come to Egypt seeking food during a famine. Joseph forgave them, showing a spirit of reconciliation. Genesis 50:20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save many people alive." So we have a heart change when something happens. Can we forgive someone that caused us harm? Can we release them and not hold aught against them? So it can be applied in many ways in our life. We must maintain faith through difficult times. Like Joseph, we should trust God's presence and plan, even when circumstances seem unjust and challenging in our life. Living with integrity, Joseph had a commitment to righteousness, even when it cost him his freedom. This encourages us to uphold integrity in our lives regardless of the consequences. We must believe God for His sovereign acts in our life. Joseph's rise from prison to the second in command in Egypt reminds us that God is in control and can bring good out of most challenging situations in our life. Joseph's forgiveness of his brother teaches us the power for us to let go of past hurts and seek forgiveness, reconciliation. So the testimony of Joseph, even in the darkest times of our life, can bring about God's purpose and for our good. Go over King David and Bathsheba, the story of King David and his sin of adultery, as well as the consequences of that sin. It's a powerful story in the Bible. It reveals the dangers of sin, the justice of God's punishment, and the possibility of repentance and forgiveness. So David, the king of Israel, was a man after God's own heart. His faithfulness and victories in battle showed how much God was with him. However, during a time when kings typically go out to battle, David stayed in Jerusalem. So this decision set the stage for sin. That's something that, studying this, I realized, okay, David should have went out to battle, and he didn't. So this set the stage of him being alone and being tempted. So that, another thought is, it encourages us to be in church, be around believers. When we're out there alone, it's easier for us to fall into sin. So God, I love fellowship, being around people that believe like I do, and it strengthens us to continue. David saw Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, bathing and lusted after her. He sent for her, committed adultery, and she became pregnant. To cover up his sin, David attempted to bring Uriah back, hoping he would sleep with his wife, but Uriah refused to do so while his comrades were in the field. Uriah was killed. David took Bathsheba, his wife. However, the Lord was displeased with his actions. So many times when we commit sin, we try to cover it up. We try to excuse it. We try to say it's all right. But God knows our hearts. And He brought Nathan to confront David. gave him a parable that exposed his sin. So many times as we listen to parables of Jesus and others, it brings new revelation to us. And that's how God chose to reveal it to David. Instead of Nathan saying he was in sin, David repented. However, God brought consequences, 2 Samuel 12:7 through 10. Nathan said to David, "Henceforth the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah Hittite to be thy wife." So we see several punishments. One was the death of the child born to David. And David's sin brought his family long-term turmoil, including the story of rebellion of Absalom, David being sent away, Absalom violating David's concubines. So we see that many times the consequences we make, God may bring challenges to our life or punishment in this life, but to avoid the punishment of the world to come. So sin, even when committed by someone as favored by David, has severe consequences. David led to the death of an innocent man and brought calamity upon his household. David's fall began when he stayed behind in Jerusalem instead of leaving his troops. This idleness led to temptation and sin, showing the importance of vigilance and our responsibilities. While God punished David for his sin, he showed mercy by allowing David to live and continue his reign. This balance of justice and mercy highlights God's righteousness. We know under the law, adultery had the sin of capital punishment, and David could have been put to death, but God's mercy and repentance changed that, and God allowed David to live. David's sincere repentance is a crucial part of his story. His prayer in Psalm 51 is a model of true repentance. I'll read a couple of verses from it. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." So that is how we should respond. Many times we hear from God and we don't do what we're supposed to, and then sin comes in. It's like David not leaving. It allowed opportunities. So many times we've got to be vigilant to hear from God, to watch out for being in the wrong place, being in sin. So we have to guard against temptation. Like David, we must be mindful of our actions and avoid situations where we may be tempted to sin. Staying engaged in our duties and seeking God's help in time of weakness. So we're encouraged not to be part of the world. We know that when Israel took the promised land, they was encouraged not to associate with the other nations, because God knew that they would associate with him. The daughters would be there. Sons would be there. They'd be invited to barbecues with other people. Begin to socialize, and more socialization would lead to more and more sin. So that's why God has strict commandments against us being caught up in a lot of worldly lust and pleasures. Sin has consequences that affect us and those around us. So we must remind ourselves of the far-reaching consequences of sin. It's vital to repent sincerely, as David did when we sin. True repentance involves acknowledging our wrongdoing, seeking God's forgiveness, and turning away from sin. We have to rely on God's mercy. It's available when we fall. God shows us while God may discipline us for our sins, He's also willing to forgive us and restore us when we turn back to Him. It's a sober reminder of dangers of sin and a powerful testimony of possibilities of repentance and redemption. So our works are tested by far throughout our life. 1 Corinthians 3:13, God through trials in our life to refine us and strengthen our faith. God is the consuming fire in Hebrews 12:29. God's fire purifies us, leaving us to holiness. We must embrace the purification process that God has for us to grow closer. We have encouragement and hope of God's promises in trials. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall flame kindle upon thee. God's assurance of His presence and protection in trials. We have the final victory in Revelation 20:14-15. The ultimate triumph over sin and death through God's judgment. There's hope in the final victory through Christ. So it's time to finish with my little personal story. Mine going through the fire. So about 3 years ago, I began to develop a serious infection in the heel of one of my foot through diabetes. And though I went through several surgeries because it was right in the heel, it never would heal. And it ended up going up into the bone. And one day, I was coming back from Bible study with Wald, and I had a lot of pain. And that night, I went to the emergency room. They said that my white count went sky high and put in the hospital. And then through much prayer, they decided best was to go to Indianapolis and maybe go through an amputation. So during that time, fear and despair came over me, questioning why such a trial had befallen me. Why would I lose my leg? However, during my recovery, I experienced a profound sense of God's presence and peace. Friends, family, strangers, CI ministers, offered support and encouragement. So through it, I found new strength in my faith, recognizing God's glory shown upon me through the consequences and love I received from God and others. As I adapted to my life, I received power from the Holy Spirit to transform my adversity into a story of hope and resilience. So I rejoice because I can still drive, work, teach, and attend church. And I have a new leg I can bounce around on, kick my wife with it. No, I haven't kicked her. I step on her, I don't have any feelings, so once in a while I step on her foot. So take the trial far in your life and change it into victory. Let the work of purification prepare you for your destiny. When trials or fires come upon your life, embrace them and let God fulfill your destiny. Thank you for allowing me to share today, and God bless you. And